Hi everyone, welcome to Thud Capital's yet another podcast. As you all know, we run a whole series of episodes through our podcast channel called Thud Inspire. And Thud Inspire is all about inspiring each of you to do your own business much better than what you have done in the past. Part of this wonderful efforts that we make, today we are glad to bring yet another guest who will give you guys a deeper insight into the world of medtech. So we are pleased to welcome our guest of honor today, Dr. Jitendra Sharma, Managing Director and CEO of AMTZ. AMTZ stands for Andhra Pradesh Medical Tech Zone, which is a Government of India undertaking, which is possibly world's largest medtech clusters, purpose-built out of India, to not only fulfill the medical device markets of India, but also position India as a game changer in supplying medical devices to the rest of the world out of India. So on that note, we are pleased to have you, Dr. Sharma. Thank you for sparing some time today with us.
Pleasure. Pleasure is all mine.
Thank you. So Dr. Sharma, without taking much thunder away from what AMTZ does, if you could please help our audience understand, maybe going through the history of AMTZ and how did AMTZ actually get conceptualized, and that will give us a bit of a context, and then we will go into further details.
Lovely. Thank you, Mr. Ram. Thank you for hosting this session, and my greetings to all the viewers. Now, I will take a step back to share not about AMTZ first, but what makes healthcare for everyone. Now, what makes healthcare broadly is in four parts. They are like the four pies of a circle. Part one is the infrastructure, such as the building, the land, and so on, which in every country is regulated in a different way, which meets their contextual needs. The costs of these infrastructures is generally not within the hands of the patients. The second pie is the cost of the human resources. Now, human resources is something where the cost never goes down. It keeps going higher and higher because all of us want to get paid better and better. The third pie in global health is the pharmaceuticals and biologics, which despite challenges is something the world is quite comfortable with. So we do have large manufacturers of drugs, pharmaceuticals, we have large supply chains, we have pricing regulation and so on. They are even part of many reimbursement baskets of many countries' insurance programs. But the fourth pie is the pie of the unknown, which is the medtech. Now, unlike a pharmaceutical product, which a patient can take sitting on the bed or a chair at home, one cannot get the benefit of a CT scan or an MR sitting at home. Hmm. One has to come to a hospital. Hmm. Therefore, as global citizens, we do have to realize that there is a pie, a missing pie of medtech, which as a global community, we have not yet taken fully in our control. Now, what does taking things in our control mean? It means our ability to encourage innovations. It means our ability to encourage and boost production. And it means our ability to produce good quality, safe medical devices that are affordable. Hmm. We have lost as a global community on all the three counts. Hmm. That's the genesis of AMTZ. AMTZ believes in creating an ecosystem and operating an ecosystem which boosts innovations, which supports scale-up of manufacturing, and which allows affordable medtech coming to every citizen globally.
Got it. Wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Sharma. It's wonderful to have that kind of a broader perspective on what is happening in the industry. So would you also give us a bit more understanding in terms of where exactly is Indian medtech seen at the moment? And that must be one of the primary reasons why AMTZ was encouraged by Indian government, and where exactly was Indian medtech seen prior to the establishment of AMTZ, And where is Indian government's procurement as far as medical devices is as of today?
So that's a very nice question, because that also helps us understand the contextual realities of India vis-a-vis other countries. Now, India spends about 2% of its GDP on government-enabled health expenditure, which means 2% of the national GDP goes on health as government expenditure, and a larger share comes from private or out-of-pocket expenditure. In comparison, the European Union spends about 8 to 11% of their GDP on health, and the US spends approximately 15% of their GDP on health as government health expenditure. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, this expenditure will have many components, including the most expensive components of medical technology.
Sure.
Which means, because of our low spending on healthcare, we consume lesser medical technologies than we perhaps need. Mm. Now, if this were to be superimposed on the market size, the global medtech market is about $500 billion. And Indian market size in that is about $5 to $7 billion. Which means we are less than 2% of global medtech market share. Now, this also means that we have the highest opportunity to fill in the vacuum, not just by producing, but also by saturating the health needs in our own system, ensuring that patients and citizens get better access to medical technology, which would happen when there is a better outlay on financial expenditure. Now, I'm saying this only because the budget was released a couple of days ago. Yes. And it's important to look everything from a perspective which allows a comprehensive thinking.
Excellent. So, Dr. Sharma, that actually brings up an important point. You said India only spends, Indian medtech market is only 2% of the global medtech market. Does that mean that India has potentially sought more unconventional approach to diagnosis till date, as opposed to the standard benchmarking standards that most of the world would follow, by potentially diagnosing using more sophisticated instrument-led, pathology-led diagnosis? And why do you think that India at large and Indian healthcare policies should change what was working potentially quite well till date?
No, we would say it was potentially working quite well till date if our neonatal mortality or maternal mortality would have been equal to that of Sweden or Germany or Canada, right? But the fact is that the neonatal and maternal mortality in India has been showing suboptimal levels of progress for decades. And therefore, our reliance on conventional modes of intervention, clinical intervention, does not necessarily justify our non-acceptance of modern technology. Mm. Particularly when clinical medicine today is 90% advanced diagnostics and 10% targeted care or cure, we have remained away from large penetration of medtech. For example, about 80,000 to 120,000 people in India is the density that a single ambulance covers. Mm. We have one of the world's largest fleet of ambulances in our country. Mm. Yet, the density of ambulance coverage is about 12,000 people in the heart of Germany. So we do require a better penetration. And that's exactly where AMTZ comes in. Better penetration is possible because of better cost effectiveness and better affordability. And better affordability is possible only because of better production cycles, which can be achieved in ecosystems like AMTZ.
So let's talk a little bit about AMTZ. We spoke a lot about the need for medtech to really flourish in India, and there is obviously a natural demand for this kind of a product to be consumed in a sparsely used industry like medtech in India at the moment. But one thing that still baffles me is, how can AMTZ be super competitive in terms of its pricing and efficiencies that it can offer that globally that other manufacturers or other regions are not able to offer? Why do you think that AMTZ is poised in such a space where you as a group of manufacturers or an entity created by the government will make that significant difference to make medical diagnosis that much more cost effective for the common man?
So again, we have to break down into cost of manufacturing to understand this and to appreciate the gains at AMTZ vis-a-vis other clusters in the world. Although there is no other cluster as big as AMTZ in MedTech, but there are small pockets of advanced clusters, and I'm just looking at a comparative advantage.
Sure.
Now, cost of production is critical components and raw materials, plus the cost of power and facilities, plus the cost of production machinery, plus the cost of labor force, the workforce.
Sure. Right?
Now, look at AMTZ. It's based out of India, which has one of the most competitively priced workforce. Means we put a double tick on that node.
Yeah.
AMTZ has one of world's largest set of scientific validation laboratories, which are operated by notified bodies, which means we can potentially put a triple tick there, triple plus, because there is no other place globally where, right from a textile testing to a MRI testing to a CT scan validation, everything can happen in one campus. Right from a femtosecond laser to a transmission electron microscope, all sitting for manufacturers in one single place. That gives a power of scientific infrastructure that brings down the cost of validation to about 30% of global costs.
Sure.
The next component is the raw materials and critical components. Now, right from printed circuit board manufacturing to sensors, to injection molding, to die printing, to 3D printing, to conventional packaging, to warehousing, large number of critical components required for MedTech manufacturing are available at AMTZ, competitively priced as AMTZ common scientific facility.
Got it.
So we put a triple tick there. Then comes the cost of infrastructure, where I'm putting a double tick simply because we are as competitive as the rest of the world. But this is a centralized ecosystem where water, power, general facilities of infrastructure are all provided right on day one and as a package from AMTZ.
But
if you were to look at our strengths and what makes us super competitive, and competition in itself is a very, very restrictive word. We don't want to compete. We want to take everybody along with us in this progress because we are looking at global good, not a commercial success.
Right. So you're complementing rather than competing.
Absolutely. And if I were to substitute this word competitive to being an engine of growth for MedTech globally, I would say our cluster of scientific facilities, our access to raw material and critical component supply chain within the campus, our access to cost-effective trained human resources and ready-to-use infrastructure is what makes AMTZ today the engine of global growth for MedTech.
Excellent. So Dr. Sharma, that actually is prodding me to ask another important question in terms of acceptance, the customer acceptance of the product. So typically when you talk about engineering product or any kind of medical technology solutions, typically whether it is an Indian customer or a global customer would have looked into the developed nations, to the likes of Germany or for some parts of Europe and parts of North America, to be the natural leaders for procuring such product. And what has been the mindset of the Indian customer now since the inception and since the production of AMTZ's own medical device products? And what have you done to potentially convince the local customer to procure product from you rather than these large chains around the world?
So again, a very, very, very deep and excellent question, Mr. Ram. The thing is, who are our customers? For a mask or for a thermometer, my customer is a patient at home.
Sure.
For an MR or a CT or a cath lab or a heart valve, my customer is the hospital, not the patient. Right? So we have two sets of customers, one which are individual customers and one which are institutional customers, because it is they who will use these machines for as an asset. But when you look at these two categories of customers, we have three things that we look at. One, on many products, customers don't require convincing particularly if they are hospitals who know the relevance of technology, if the product is already priced more cost effectively than their imported counterparts.
Got it.
So every hospital, for example, knows what is an electrolyte analyzer or a hematology five-part analyzer. Mm-hmm. If you were to put 2 5-part hematology analyzer and tell a hospital that something coming from outside India is 2.5x and what's coming in from India at 1x, in half a day, they will know the worth of the machine and they will go for one that is priced as 1x.
Got it.
So one customer enablement happens through cost-effective pricing. Mm-hmm. The second one, which is more client-driven, patient-driven, mm-hmm. is when you take the due certifications and accreditations mm-hmm. On the machines and technologies that we produce that are at par with the global standards. Mm-hmm. That's where the notified bodies and laboratories of AMTZ come into play. And so long as our products are tested, validated, verified, and accredited, certified using international benchmarks, mm-hmm. we do not have a problem of patients' acceptance regarding those products. But the third component is what generally gets missed out, which is post-market surveillance.
Got it.
Irrespective of what we produce, it's our moral duty to reach out to our customers, hospitals, or patients and take the feedback on the quality and safety of the products. That's where we have an added advantage for the Indian market than those who export their products into India, because we are closer to the client base.
If we were to
fix these three things together, cost-effective pricing, matching global standards on quality through notified body certifications, and good post-market surveillance, I think it's a matter of consolidation of demand and not converting a customer that would come into play.
Got it. Wonderful. So, Dr. Sharma, I have one more question, which is more focused on domestic markets before I turn our conversation to AMTZ's relevance in global markets. So what about the procurement side to fulfill the raw material need to manufacture at AMTZ? So have you or the group of manufacturers ever felt the shortage of raw material required to produce what you do? So if that is the case, what are the natural areas that you potentially have sought help of Indian government or potentially engaging with global at a global level across various countries to procure and ensure supply chains to these manufacturers that are abundantly available through long-dated offtake agreements and ensuring these manufacturers are able to do what they do so very well?
So very, very nice and takes me back a couple of years in the memory lane. I can only remember the classic example of what happened during ventilator production. Mm-hmm. We did not have enough sensors.
Great.
Sensors were to be airlifted from multiple places in the world to be brought here, pressure sensor, oxygen sensor, and printed circuit boards, for example. And we could set up, we could reach out to Amphenol, which is world leader in medical sensors and printed circuit boards for medical applications, mm-hmm. and work with them in partnership to enable them to set up a production facility here at AMTZ. Now, our sensor requirement and the printed circuit board requirement is met indigenously in a captive way right from AMTZ campus. And therefore, while it is important to try to bring all the raw materials into one value chain at AMTZ, we have to acknowledge the fact that medical devices need raw materials that might be as well used in other sectors like defense, aerospace, automobiles, and so on, particularly if there are metal parts or so on. Mm-hmm. Now, in that case, if it is sector agnostic component or raw material, we tend to develop a consolidated procurement agreement patterns with multiple suppliers in the country and outside India. We have done that consistently mm-hmm. and successfully. But if it is a sector-specific component, AMTZ tends to identify the root cause and set up a base right at AMTZ for production of the sector-specific, medtech-specific component.
So Dr. Sharma, at this point of time, it's probably prudent to ask more specific questions on how AMTZ operates. Obviously, I'm hearing a lot about the role of AMTZ in providing much needed assistance to the manufacturers set up in the space. So maybe if I take a step back here and explain to the listeners, what exactly is AMTZ? Is AMTZ a custodian of land and then basically provides a bunch of service solutions through the accredited laboratories, or much more than that? So where does the nexus between the private and public happen so meticulously and so seamlessly?
So AMTZ is an ecosystem. That's its best definition.
Okay.
But that ecosystem is made of institutional components. Mm-hmm. Component one is provision of land, ready factory, incubation space, common facilities like water, power, etc. Institutional pillar two is our R&D labs, mm-hmm. where manufacturers can work on multiple projects along with our scientists to develop core technologies. Institutional column three is the bunch of accredited notified labs, which are used by manufacturers for validation and testing of their products. Institutional pillar four is the Indian Biomedical Skill Council, which accredits workers, technicians, engineers working in medtech space in factories or hospitals. And institutional pillar five is our ability to support manufacturers with production machinery for scale-up with the support of the two incubators, MediValley and BioValley, that we have as our subsidiaries. So AMTZ is an ecosystem with these five institutional pillars seamlessly working with each other, so that when we look at a potential partner, irrespective of that partner is a public sector or a private sector entity, we look at the core requirements of the project and try with our institutional leadership to fulfill that requirement.
Got it. So Dr. Sharma, that's very interesting that you basically divided the entire role of AMTZ into the five important pillars upon which the private sector is kind of built upon and being held on. So let's talk about the manufacturing policies of India. Obviously, the current Indian government, he's been very proactively talking about making in India for the world and also for India. As much as AMTZ is fulfilling the fundamental goal of making India sustainable in terms of securing enough medical devices through the Atmanirbhar Bharat campaign, but I'm also quite intrigued to see how AMTZ can help global manufacturers to take advantage of the proactively driven the Make in India campaign and help global manufacturers to consider setting up at AMTZ.
So again, I think medical technology has to be seen from a lens of science and not a lens of business first. Business is its reflection, but the core is science. And for science, you need the R&D labs, the ability and access to about 10,000 pieces of equipment, access to multiple laboratories and testing centers. And I think that's where AMTZ scores very high to the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. We have all of it that allows a manufacturer, as of today, we are speaking to multiple non-Indian manufacturers have their base at AMTZ, mm-hmm. right from Korea, Japan, China, the US, Italy, Germany. We have multiple manufacturers who are already part of our ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Yet, I think one way in which we can solidify or consolidate this position is not to tell them what we can provide, mm-hmm. but to ask them what is it that they need.
Got it.
So long as we fulfill that need technologically, mm-hmm. I think we will have sufficient partnerships, not just for India, but for global health.
But are there also specific government policies, Dr. Sharma, that is potentially designed in such a way to help global manufacturers to consider India first and
yes.
AMTZ? Are you able to throw any light on specific policies that manufacturers or medical device innovators or medtech companies should be reading further in detail?
We have three such policies. One is the PLI scheme of Government of India, launched very recently. I chaired the drafting committee of the scheme for medical devices, so I can say with a complete lack of bias that it's one of the best sectoral policies that has been brought in, the production linked incentive scheme, mm-hmm. where a where through a grand challenge mode, the central government of India selects a large number of applications, depending upon the sector, whether it is automobile or solar PV or medical devices, and gives them 5%, for example, in medical devices, 5% of their sales turnover every year for 5 years as cash back, as a financial incentive. That's a big thing.
Got it.
That offsets a lot of commercial disability that manufacturing, choosing some other country as manufacturing destination would bring. So India completely offsets it.
Got it.
The second policy is our public procurement order, which allows a preference to made in India products in medical devices if the local value addition is done to a level of certain percentage. Means I bring in a CT scan from elsewhere or I make it here, my chances, the probability of my selling off in public procurement the CT scan made in India is higher simply because the local value addition was done in India.
Got it.
And the third one is more tariff regulation, where we have extremely welcoming tariff on basic components, spare parts that are used for medtech manufacturing vis-a-vis the tariffs on the finished products, which makes it more attractive to get the components, integrate and manufacture it in India rather than importing the entire machine. These are three policies which are of trade policies, which certainly the PPI, the PLI, the Production Linked Incentive Scheme, 5%, the PPO, the Public Procurement Order on preference to public procurement from locally made devices, and the inverted duty structure correction are all three trade policies that make India a super destination for medtech.
Got it. So Dr. Sharma, again, it throws me a lot of intrigueness and inquisitiveness into the way AMTZ has been operational in such a gigantic fashion in such a short, small period. Just for the sake of listeners and viewers who are watching this podcast, let me tell you, AMTZ is less than 4 years old as an organization. And everything that Dr. Sharma has been speaking about has come into an operational executional mode in less than 4 years. So to that effect, Dr. Sharma, is it possible for a potential manufacturer to have a sneak peek into some of your facilities through your virtual system that you may have? Is it possible to have a quick demo of what is that facility is going to look like?
I'm not sure if I can give a virtual demo, but what I can say is AMTZ channel on YouTube has the videos of all the facilities of AMTZ,
wonderful,
including the scientific infrastructure, the instrumentation, the quality accreditation systems, the manufacturing and production facilities, and some of our humongous milestones. I mean, producing a million RT-PCR test kits for COVID a day, or 1,000 oxygen concentrators a day, are all expressed in those lovely videos, which are there on AMTZ YouTube channel.
Wonderful.
And on the history, genesis, and the work of AMTZ, happy to share that Made in Lockdown is a book which was authored, and it's available on Amazon now. And anybody can actually pick this book to know how we work, how we originated, and the purpose-driven culture in organization of as AMTZ, which drives our growth and partnerships.
Excellent. So Dr. Sharma, that's been very helpful. And I will make sure the link to purchase the book and link to all those videos that you pointed out is available for our audience when we send this information out. So in terms of closing remarks, Dr. Sharma, are you able to also give us a bit of an insight on more of a pragmatic note? We obviously started with a helicopter view. At a street level, what exactly is happening in AMTZ as of today? So how many companies have actually expressed interest since the inception of the company? And out of the people who have expressed interest, how many are currently operational? And are you also able to give us a sense check of how many products have been shipped away to within India, or how many products potentially have gone from the shores of India to the rest of the world?
So that's a very detailed catalog question and requires a very elaborate answer, but I'll keep it crisp. We have more than 100 companies today at AMTZ. It's world's fastest built industrial zone greater than 100 acres. We are spread over an area of about 8 kilometers, and more than 100 companies in 3 years means we are one of the fastest growing medtech clusters and fastest growing industrial clusters across all sectors globally. We have over 1,000 products as of today from 100 companies. And these 1,000 products go to the entire country. There is no state or union territory of India which does not receive made at AMTZ products, made in India products. Our products also, particularly the RT-PCR kits, the oxygen concentrators, ventilators, and so on, are shipped to over 40 countries globally. So in a very silent but enthused way, a firm way, AMTZ has come up to the level of being a global supply point for medtech. The good news is internationally, our recognition has also been consolidated, which has led to BRICS Council's recognition of the fact that, and BRICS Council is Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. The five prime ministers chair the BRICS Council. And BRICS Council has approved setting up of a BRICS Center of Excellence for MedTech at AMTZ, which will be an international center. Hopefully it should be up and running in 2 months' time from now. But yes, AMTZ is a story of milestones covered in a very short time. And I think all the partners and products of AMTZ are testimony to that.
Excellent. Dr. Sharma, any final closing note and closing remarks for the viewers in terms of if they potentially wish to experience AMTZ, what would be that? And what would you want to share with Australian clients and Australian medtech suppliers and Australian medtech innovators?
So, given that I'm a faculty in an Australian university, the University of Adelaide, Australia is a place that I am deeply connected with. Australian colleagues, friends, scientists are all working with us seamlessly. We have two Australian centers at AMTZ, the Joanna Briggs Institute and the Organ Generation Facility, each working with University of Adelaide and University of Wollongong respectively. But the only thing I'd like to share with the viewers is if you are in medtech or health space, and if you see that in your vision of providing better, more affordable, more accessible healthcare to people globally, if you need something, do write to us. We may be a small part of your big vision, a big solution of your small problem. And I think that's what will take us ahead together.
Excellent. Thank you, Dr. Sharma, for sparing your time. And I'm sure we can have wonderful conversations like this, provided you have a bigger schedule in your calendar. But given the constraint of time, we will probably close there. But for the sake of the viewers, like I said, we will be providing the links to all those YouTube videos for you to personally experience what AMTZ has been doing. And we'll also provide you a link to potentially purchase that wonderful book that Dr. Sharma has authored for all of you to understand the history of AMTZ. But if you need anything, please.
And the book is made in lockdown. So everyone must be proud of what could be done in a lockdown.
Excellent, excellent. And I'm told that AMTZ didn't shut down during lockdown at all. 24/7, you were working.
Not even for 30 minutes.
Excellent, excellent. That's a spirit. So I think you say, we never say no to work. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So with that spirit of never saying no to work, sir, Tat Capital's vision of powering growth with purpose, we wonderfully welcome each and every one of you to come and have a chat with us and also chat with AMTZ to rediscover your own purpose of excellence and participate in the global medtech supply and make medtech and medical diagnosis cost efficient and accessible to the world. And India is calling all of you and to all my colleagues and friends and stakeholders in Australia, let's rewrite history as far as medtech is concerned through this wonderful partnership that is engaging between these two countries. Until the next episode, thank you all for watching this. And thank you, Dr. Sharma, for sparing your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.